are on your pew. If you haven't already, will you please pick up your newsletter? There's a lot of important information. Sunday school will begin on the 19th. The ad board will meet after church next Sunday. If you didn't take your plants home, would you kindly do that today, please? It's time to be thinking about bringing food for Christian neighbors. And do you have any joys or concerns? Well, you have to speak up because I can't hear.
Our daughter and our two grandsons are safely back with the government.
Well, that's good.
James starts getting her first grade tomorrow.
Good. So, we're all on high alert now, all over the world. And I'd like you to turn in your hymnal to, right now, to page 657. Because we're going to sing the introit, "This is the day." I'm going to try and be the leader. And you see how it turns out, leader and all? You are the all. Oh, gee whiz, I wrote joy, but I didn't write bells. Would you please bring the bells, girls?
Oh, my God.
as this year
draws. May we take time to see the newness for which you are giving the earth. May we not be blinded by the darkness that consumes our world, or consumed by the fear that paralyzes our actions. May we remember that out of this darkness you bring forth
life,
and out of winter's death
you give
birth unto new life. May we remember that which has been dormant will spring to life, that which has been pruned will sprout new strength. May we remember, you are the light by which we see. You are the fountain that gives us life. God, as your spirit here emerges, may we give birth to that which honors you. May we bring to life that which allows your goodness to shine. May we give fresh expressions to your eternal world. And in the depths of our hearts, may we cry, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Good morning. This is a day of new beginnings. A bit scary, I have to admit, but enjoyable at the same time. I really appreciate all that Emmett did for us in the 8 years that he served this congregation, and hope that he enjoys his retirement. So, real pleased today to see all of you here, especially my family members. So I've got Josh and his family, my brother Mark, and Juanita and their family. So, really appreciate that. It's great to have that support. So, I'm going to lead off here with a silent prayer. Then we'll go into a pastoral prayer, and then we'll close together in the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the new beginnings that we're facing today. Thank you for your confidence in the challenge that you placed before us. It's not all easy, but we know that, Lord, you're with us. You'll guide us. You'll be our strength and our guide. Lord, we know that we live in uneasy times, challenging, difficult times, a lot of unrest. There's a lot of unrest in the world and challenges that we face, especially right now with the Iraq-Iran situation. Lord, we trust that you will be with our leaders, you will guide them and direct them, and make sure that their focus is on achieving peace and not war. That we will be guided in the appropriate direction, making friends, not enemies. Lord, we also know that there are challenges elsewhere with Boko Haram in Africa, and the attacks on the church down there. Lord, we pray that you will raise up individuals that will challenge them, stop that situation, and uphold you, Lord, in that region. We also know there are challenges here politically in the United States, and we continue to bicker back and forth, and we seem to accomplish nothing. Lord, we hope that individuals will gain some insight and appropriate direction is achieved, and we'll put away our bickering and work towards peace among all the individuals here so that we can help your people and all the people in the United States and the world. Lord, we pray today that you will bless this service, that you will join us in this activity, that you'll be among us as you promised you would be. Lord, we also pray that you'll be with the other churches in West Michigan, throughout Michigan and the world, that you will guide them and direct them in the appropriate ways so that we might serve you best and serve your Son better. Lord, we ask all these things in your Son's name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We'll now sing Spirit Song on 347.
found in your pew Bible in the New Testament section, beginning on page 180. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. He destined us to love, to be his sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to praise his glorious grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. For he has made known to us in all wisdom and insight the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, his plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him, according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things, according to the counsel of his will, we who first hoped in Christ have been destined and appointed to live for the praise of his glory. In him you also who have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and have believed in him who are sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, which is the guarantee of our inheritance, until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. The second reading is from the book of John, chapters 1, verses 1 to 3, found in your pew Bible on page 87. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Came for testimony to be the witness for the light, and all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness to the light. The true light that enlightens every man was coming into our world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world knew him not. He came to his own home, and his own people received him not. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. We have beheld his glory. Glory as the only Son from the Father. The Word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
We'll now offer up our healing prayer. So I will lead off and then pause, and you'll be able to mention the individuals that you would like to pray for today, either verbally or silently. Please pray with me. Dear Lord, comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, and spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. This morning we pray for Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Our ushers will now wait upon us for our tithes and offerings. Heavenly Father, we present these, our offerings, to you, that they might be used in your service along with us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Scripture reading is Ephesians 4, 24, 22 to 24, found on page 183 of your Pew Bible. Put off your old nature, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and put on the new nature created after the likeness of God in true righteousness in holiness. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be found pleasing in your sight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning again. It's a brand new year. I can't believe that. Happy New Year, 2020. It's amazing that the year has blown by so fast and also the whole decade, so we're starting fresh. As we wrap up this holiday season with Epiphany, which is the 12th day of Christmas, during which the wise men came and visited the baby Jesus, and that's being celebrated tomorrow, I wanted to start out today's message by reading an excerpt from an article that I felt speaks volumes about the true gift we all received on that first Christmas, and what we need to contemplate doing in response as we look forward to this new year. The article is called Keeping the Faith, Embracing the Gift of Christmas. And I'm just reading a few excerpts here, but it was written by Susie Moore, and it was published on December 26th of this year, just 10 days ago, at 4 o'clock. She says, I've written about my faith here before. It's an integral part of who I am, but truth be told, it hasn't been an integral part of my life recently. 2019 in particular has presented me with a number of challenges and a fair amount of heartache. Watching my father slip away from us and enter into the late stages of Alzheimer's, watching my mother endure that loss while being his primary caregiver, losing my beloved golden retriever, struggling to navigate blended family issues, and moving. Also battling through an exceedingly tough trial, coming very close to but ultimately missing out on a terrific job opportunity, and encountering unanticipated expenses. I've been preoccupied at best. Rather than lean on my faith, I've compartmentalized it. I've not lost it, not felt compelled to rail at God or cry out, "Why me?" as I may have done at other trying times in my life. But I've drifted away from it and relegated it to the background, decorative status. I've not spent any time of late in Bible study, and I can't tell you the last time I attended services. With everything going on, I was running far, far behind in terms of Christmas preparation this year. I still had several items to pick up on Christmas Eve and an appetizer to prepare for the annual gathering at my brother and sister-in-law's house. Making it to Christmas Eve services didn't appear to be in the cards. Thankfully, my church airs online services, so I checked on Tuesday and verified they would be online at 5 p.m. That worked. I could watch service while I prepared the appetizer and did some last-minute wrapping. It felt good to know I'd be able to squeeze it in. As usual, the music was beautiful and the service remarkable. And when the pastor spoke of those who had drifted, saying, "Maybe it's because you're not at home. Maybe it's because something happened at work. Maybe we just got really busy. But God, we're not even really sure what to do with Christmas besides going through the motions anymore." In that, I recognize myself all too well. That's exactly what I've been doing. Unlike earlier times in my life when my faith wavered and I questioned God's presence, I've known and take comfort in the fact that He's still with me, carrying me through the rough spots. It's given me a sense of peace that I longed for and often floundered as I thought it in my earlier days. I'm so grateful for that. But as I listened to the pastor's words on Christmas Eve, I realized that I've been taking it for granted. Just as we take for granted that our parents will always be there to support us, encourage us, and love us. Our siblings will always be there to squabble and play with us. Our children will always be there to rely on and look up to us. When we are loved, we know it. It tends to lend us a sense of peace and security, but it sometimes lulls us into complacency. I'm thankful for the reminder of the wondrous gift, the nudge not to simply go through the motions of Christmas, but to respond to the gift of it, to make room for it. At the end of the service, the pastor spoke of the enormity of the universe and of the creator of all of it and asked an extraordinarily important question. Will you make room in your life for the God of the universe? Or will you take Him and the gift of His love for granted, squeeze it out of your life while you fill it with your busyness and worries? It's easy when you consider the vastness of the universe and the smallness of each of us to wonder, who am I that you would care about me? And yet Christmas reminds us that He does. If you believe, once you believe, and I do, that the God who spoke all of this into being loves you, isn't it time to make room in your life and in your heart for Him? I thought that was a great story, a great message. And as we begin this new year, I believe that that's a question every one of us needs to ask themselves and come up with an answer. In the midst of our busy lives, will we make room for that baby in the manger? That child sought out and worshiped by the wise men. That man who turned water into wine, calmed the seas, and fed the 5,000. That Redeemer who sacrificed everything, including his very life, so that we might be forgiven of our sins. And that Savior Christ, the ultimate manifestation of God's love for us, who enables each of us to call us children of God. We make room for him. We know that God loves us and will never abandon us, no matter what. The Bible tells us that over and over again. One example is Paul in Romans 8:38 saying, "I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither fears, our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love." We also know that God has a design for each of our lives. As Jeremiah 29:11 says, one of our favorite verses, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." And according to Romans 8:28, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So it's a new year, and once again, God offers us his love. Now it's up to us to decide what we're going to do in response. Will we continue to accept that gift with humility and joy? Will we rededicate ourselves to serving him? This year, I'd like to challenge each of us to spend more time seeking God's will in our lives and taking action to live that out day to day. As you know, for the past several months, Pastor Emmett has been ending each service with a congregational benediction that says, "Grant us, O Lord, that which we have said with our lips, we may believe in our hearts. And what we believe in our hearts, we may practice in our lives." It's a meaningful sentiment that we'll continue using, which seems to be such a simple thing to say, but when it really comes down to it, as we all know, saying's one thing, doing's another, and it's hard. Are we willing to really accept God's gift of love and let that be reflected in our lives through our thoughts, our words, and our deeds? This is a question that applies to both us individually and to our church as a whole. As a small but faithful and dedicated congregation, I know you already do so much in support of God's mission and in response to his love. And I really appreciate all that each of you do. You are quite amazing. But I question whether there's more we can do, especially with our facility and our location. Or are there things that we can do differently, making them more effective? Over the next few weeks, I'd like us to informally discuss how we can best represent God in serving this congregation and our local community. Are there changes to the service you'd like us to adopt? Are there different ways for us to interact and support the local community that we should investigate? Are there new ways we might want to serve God in this church this year? As you know, we are always in need of acolytes and ushers, especially now since I'm up here, as well as liturgists and coffee bar hosts and those that make cookies or other treats for us. Each of us has unique skills, knowledge, and abilities, and all of those could be used to God's glory. What we do and how we do it varies person to person. But I know that each of us has something to offer, even if it's as simple as sending cards and letters of support, or praying for those on our prayer list, which remains our greatest mission. We know we won't be able to do everything that might be suggested, but your input and ideas are most desired and will be appreciated. I will also be talking further with the DS, Dwayne Bagley, spoke to him last week, regarding how we could possibly be a resource for other district churches for retreats or special events like we have been in the past with Holland First. We've got such a unique situation on the lakeshore here, and there are a lot of people that would love to be able to take some time to be here and worship God here. The beginning of a new year provides a natural point in time for us to declare a fresh start, a time to build on the good things we've already been doing, and an occasion to strive for improvements in those areas that we thought we could do better. A new year can be a beginning of a new life, one more closely aligned with God's will, if we want it to be. Think about this. The God of the universe, the creator of everything, not only knows you, he knows your name, he cares for you. And not only does he care for you, he loves you so much that he sent his only son to live and die for us, so that we too could be called his children and have eternal life with him. That's beyond astonishing. And I don't think it's something we can simply ignore. What will we do in response? It's the question we have to answer this year. Heavenly Father, as we consider the gift of your love in this new year, help us to identify ways in which we can grow closer to you and enable that love to be reflected in our lives so that we can more appropriately serve you within our lives, within this congregation, and within this community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We will be celebrating Holy Communion. We'll start on page 12 of your hymnal and read a portion of that. Please hear this invitation. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Please join me. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may pray silently now. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. On the night that he gave himself up for us, Jesus took bread, gave thanks to God, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance." Later in the supper, he took the cup, gave thanks to God, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this as often as you would in remembrance of me." Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, it is our prayer that as we receive these elements of bread and grape juice, that in a spiritual sense they may represent for us Christ's death on the cross, and that in receiving them we may receive Christ anew in our hearts and lives, and the forgiveness that he offers to us, along with the restoration of our relationship to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I would like to invite those who are helping serve come up at this time. As a reminder, the communion in the Methodist Church is open to all who love Christ or are seeking Christ. You may come forward at this time. Thank you.
Our closing hymn is 140 in the hymnal, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Will you please join me in the benediction that's printed in the bulletin? Grant us, O Lord, that which we have said with our lips, we may believe in our hearts, and what we believe in our hearts, we may practice in our lives. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.